We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
As you know, Greg Mann is here tonight, and Greg is our missionary in Guyana. In fact, church, we're going to be taking him on for support, and we're excited about that. I've asked him to come and speak. Last time he was here, he only had a chance to present. He actually didn't get a chance to preach, so I said, Greg, you need to come back and preach to us. So would you make him welcome tonight as he comes?
Yes, good to be back here. I'll tell you what, we have put some miles on since the last time we saw you. I think since I was here about a month ago, I think I've been home in bed maybe two or three nights, maybe at the tops. I've been out on the road. I was in Guyana a couple weeks ago, so excited to be there because, as I told you, I think when I was here before, that going down to do some things with our property there, and that is moving ahead nicely, and it was exciting to see some equipment there, and we're moving a lot of dirt, getting some of the ugly work done, but it's beautiful to me because it shows that we're about ready to put some buildings up and some things moving forward there. And by the way, if all the lights go off, I don't care because it makes me feel at home. I was telling Pastor before service, I said, in Guyana, I always preach with a flashlight. I feel terrible. I didn't bring my flashlight tonight because normally there we just have like a little tiny generator. I have a little 900-watt generator I carry with me. In a lot of churches, we only have one light bulb. And so either the bulb goes out or the generator goes out. You got a flashlight for me right there. Okay, good. So I just keep right on going. It doesn't slow me down. So if the lights go out, don't worry. Just stay right where you are. I'll just keep right on going. Doesn't affect me. You got the right guy here tonight. If you got technology problems, if we shut all the technology down, I'm probably going to feel a lot more comfortable anyway. So I was in Guyana, saw some things moving, some dirt moving, the bridge being built. I was just on the phone today with one of our pastors is actually kind of helping manage the whole project. And things are moving ahead nicely there. And then after I got back from Guyana, which is in the tropics, you know, just a little notch above the equator, I got back on a Tuesday, and the next afternoon, I was in Canada, way up north, and I think I figured we had about a 90-degree temperature change. I hate cold weather, and it just reaffirmed my hatred for it, so I am in the right place. God put me in the very exact place I need to be there, and so we got back from Canada on Monday. I'm trying to remember what day this is. I got back on Monday, so then Tuesday, I left to go up to Jacksonville. So this morning I was preaching in the college chapel there at Trinity and got on the road right after lunch and headed here. So I'm kind of looking forward to tonight. I'm going to be home in my own bed and it's going to feel good. But I'm really glad to be with you. And my biggest prayer right now is that I want to stay energized for you guys because I really want to preach tonight and convey a burden I have of helping people to find their purpose in mission. And I think I mentioned it a few times. If I didn't, I'll mention it a bunch of times tonight because I have a real conviction that everybody is called in ministry. Everyone is called in ministry. I think what I'm holding here, anybody know what this is? Casting net. Okay, good. I heard that. So casting net. And by the way, I'm not good at this yet, so I'm not gonna try it. But I'm gonna practice though. I'm going to practice because when I was in Guyana, a guy told me, he said, you know, the property you're getting there for your ministry is an ideal spot for a casting net. So as soon as I got home, I got on Amazon, I ordered this, and I just so happened, if you want to turn there, I'm preaching out of Matthew chapter 4, and there's a net in the story. So I thought, what a good time to bring my net. Maybe I could practice here a little bit, catch the front row, all right? But I believe that what I'm holding in my hand is what's holding back so many Christians. I think that many, many places where I go, and this is not a criticism of you, I don't really know you, but if you are the average church, then a lot of you are holding on tight to one of these. And you're going to understand a little bit here as we get into the story. It wasn't too long ago, there was a, I think it was a survey type thing that they did among Southern Baptists, and I think it reflects a lot of conservative evangelicals, that suggested that over 90% of us, our kind of Christians, are not sharing their faith with anybody. And that's alarming, you know. That says that we're not doing what Jesus said that we're supposed to be doing. And as I said, I believe that everybody here has a ministry. I believe that we're all called of God. And I want to give you a few verses on that to show you that, because I believe that. I believe that from the depth of my heart. I don't think that I have a calling, your pastor has a calling, that nobody else has one. I believe everybody does. Now you say, well, that's easy for you to say. No, listen, I believe that it's founded in Scripture. Let me give you a couple of verses on that. Acts 1:8, you don't have to turn there, I'll just give you some verses. Acts 1:8, you're familiar with that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what happens? Ye shall be witnesses. It doesn't say what we must do, it tells us who we are. It's a statement of being, that when we receive the power of God, that is, at the very moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That is, we have the power of God at the moment we believe the gospel, and at that very moment, we become witnesses, and that word witnesses is where we get our word martyr, which means people that will profess Christ even in the face of adversity. So Acts 1:8 tells us who we are. We are witnesses. It doesn't say that that's missionaries and pastors and evangelists. That just simply says that we that have the power of God are witnesses. That's what we are. If you've received Christ, and by the way, if you're not born again tonight, listen, let me invite you tonight to seriously consider that Christ has died for you. He shed his blood as a full and complete payment for your sins. And if you've not been washed in the blood of Christ, if you've not been forgiven by God, I would invite you this evening. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And at the moment that you believe, at the very second that you believe the gospel, the Bible says that you receive the power of God. Ephesians 2:10 says that for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what we were made for. We were made for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before you were ever born, God had a beautiful plan for your life, and it involved you having purpose and meaning, and only God can give us that. How about 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, talks of God. It says there that he saved us and called us. With a holy calling. Now, holy means that it belongs only to God. That we, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we have a special calling that only comes from God. You and I, we're saved. We're called. How about Matthew 28:19? I know you know that verse. You've had just finished you're finishing up your missions month and emphasis and all that. And I know a lot of people say Matthew 28 is for missionaries. But I don't know, because I've never seen the word missionary in that whole passage. It says there to go, therefore, and teach, that is to make disciples in all nations. But I don't see the word missionary or pastor or evangelist. I just see Jesus with an urgent plea to the church to say, go and make disciples. Go and teach. Go and evangelize. That was not given to me. That was not given to your pastor. That was given to all of us. And by the way, that's a privilege to think that God, the maker of heaven and earth, would have a special place for us to serve. So let's look at Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 32. We're going to talk about finding our purpose in service. Matthew chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 18. I'm not sure if I gave you the right verse. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. See, that's where I got the net. Okay? That's where I got the net. It probably wasn't just like this net, but you get the idea. This is a casting net, and that's what they were doing. And I've been in the Middle East, and I've watched the way that they cast. It's beautiful watching those guys. They're so talented throwing those big nets out there. But that's what they were doing. They had some type of net similar to this, and they were just doing what fishermen do. They were fishing. All right? And Jesus walks by. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, straightway, they left their nets. They left their nets. Now, that's pretty crazy. These are fishermen. They're leaving behind, really, if you will, arguably, the most valuable thing that they possess, that is their net. But Jesus said, follow me. So they did. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Quite a remarkable story, if you ask me. And that's what I want to dive into tonight, and hopefully that we'll see how that we can find purpose in ministry here. And I want you to notice, first of all, that there's this encounter with Jesus. We find that in verse number 18. It says that the guys were out fishing. All right, so that's what fishermen do, right? They're just out doing what they do. It wasn't on their calendar that day to have a meeting with Jesus. All right, they just went out, and they're doing what fishermen do. They were casting their nets in the sea. And so you could say it wasn't planned, except I believe with Jesus, everything's planned. Jesus wasn't just wandering about aimlessly. I believe that whenever Jesus passes by, he comes with purpose. And by the way, if you're born again tonight, you know very well that one day in your life, Jesus passed by. I thank God that on the 1st of March in 1986, that Jesus passed by in my life on that day to show me how much I needed him, and I repented of my sins, I believed the gospel, and Jesus saved me. There are times in our life, and maybe not necessarily every day, but there are special times in our life when Jesus passes by, and these speak of opportunity. And I believe that in a church like this, you are being presented with wonderful opportunities. You know, I've traveled around the world, and I've spoken in so many different places, and I want you to know that you are incredibly blessed to be here, not just in America, but to be in this church. And trust me, there are people by the millions, even in America, that are held in spiritual darkness, but not you. I'm confident that you have the Word of God, and you're being preached to, and you're being taught, and you're learning, and you have so much opportunity. Jesus is passing by. It speaks of opportunity. But there was Simon and Andrew. They didn't know what was going to happen that day. Just like the day that I got saved. I woke up that day. I didn't put on my calendar on that day that, just like your testimony, I'm sure you didn't put that on your calendar. At youth camp this year, I'm gonna get saved and give my life to right. And a month later that you put on your calendar, I'm going to get called to preach. No, we don't do things like that. Jesus passes by. We want to latch on to those opportunities. It's a beautiful story here. There was, first of all, this encounter with Jesus. But second of all, I want you to notice that there was an invitation to consider. Look what Jesus said in verse number 19. And he saith unto them, follow me. Well, there's the invitation itself. Follow me. And by the way, I would have loved to have heard those words. I mean, to think, what did Jesus sound like when he spoke? What was his voice like? There was something about him. You know, the Bible says in another place that he spoke as one having authority. There was something about the way that he spoke, something about the way he taught, something about the way he did ministry that said there's something different about him. There had to be something very powerful in his words, because just with a simple invitation, we see how there was this dramatic change. He says, follow me. I want you to notice there's some things that have to happen if you follow somebody. First of all, if I were to ask your pastor to follow me right now, he's going to have to give up something. He's going to have to give up his will. In other words, if I said, Pastor, come with me and we're going to go over here, maybe he wanted to go that way. But if he's going to follow me, he's going to have to give up on his will and surrender that so that he's able to follow. You see, you can't follow somebody and go the other way. Right? It makes sense, okay? So the first thing that has to happen when Jesus comes to us and says, follow, then we have to come to God and say, Lord, I surrender all. We give it up. Because it doesn't do any good to fight, because if you're fighting, you're not following. You simply surrender our will completely to God. By the way, if you think that's radical, you think that's just my interpretation of this passage, how about when Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 33, he said, if a man doesn't forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You see, I think sometimes we in America have been sold a brand of Christianity that's foreign to the Bible. It's a brand that says that you don't really have to give up anything. You don't have to really do anything special. You just simply just pray a little prayer and then kind of, you know, show up to church and do a few nice things and that's all. But I don't see that Christianity in the Word of God. I see the type of Christianity that first and foremost is a matter of giving up our dreams, our aspirations, our plans, everything that we want to do. We give that to God. By the way, that's where I think that this stands in the way. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you're holding on so tight to that net. You see, they left their nets, but maybe tonight you're not ready to leave that net. And you're holding on to that net. And you think that this somehow that this net is what's going to bring you happiness, and somehow that this net is what's going to really fulfill your life. And so you're just holding on and thinking, I know what that preacher's saying, but I'm not going to let go. Okay. But Jesus said, follow me. So first of all, we surrender our will. Second of all, we have to change where we are right now. Right? You can't follow somebody unless you leave where you are. You got to go somewhere different. And I don't mean necessarily everybody's going to go to the mission field. I'm not preaching that tonight. But I'm talking about you're going to have to leave the place where you are. Maybe that's spiritually. Maybe you've been sort of in a holding pattern or you know, whatever it may be. And I'm just simply saying that tonight, maybe it's time to move from where you are and start going with Jesus. Leave your location. Relocate. All right? So we see that we have to surrender our will. We have to change from our present location. And thirdly, if you're going to follow somebody, you have to keep your eyes on them. Kind of hard to follow somebody if you can't see them, right? We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's not hard to spot. But if you get your eyes off of him, you're going to be in trouble. Remember Peter when he stepped out on the water? He thought he was something else. And then when he got his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? He starts to sink. That's what happens to us too. If you're going to follow him, you're going to have to keep your eyes on him. Stay close with him. Don't put your Christianity into autopilot. Let me ask you something. Are you as urgent in your soul to know God and to be close with him, to be intimate with him now as you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Or have you reached a point in your life where you're just sort of, well, you know, I've checked all the boxes. Please don't get that way. And if you are, repent. Don't reach a point in your life when you're content with where you are. Whether you're 15 or 85 tonight, we should strive to draw closer to him, to be intimate with God, to be dear to him, to be close to him. And I'm just amazed. It's just amazing to me that Jesus, the lover of our soul, he says, come with me, and we fight it. We're crazy people, aren't we? Why in the world would we not want to be with Jesus? But somehow, the devil is really good at his job, I can tell you that, because he convinces us that we can do better with our own nets. Think about those men that were going to be disciples. They weren't at that moment. They're about to become disciples. But think about them if they said to Jesus, you know what, thanks for the invite, but I'd rather have my net. And I think there's an awful lot of people in the American church that are holding on to nets tonight. They're not ready to give them up. And I feel sorry for you tonight if you're unwilling to give up a net for Jesus. Because this is nothing compared to what he, think about, you have the opportunity, you've been invited by the King of all the universe, by the lover of your soul, by the one who hung on the cross and shed his blood and died for you, and he's saying, come on, and you're holding on to a net? Sounds pretty crazy when you put it that way. I don't want a net, I want Jesus. So there's an invitation to consider, and part of that invitation is simply the invitation itself to follow me. But also notice the idea that there's a transformation as well. Look at what he says, follow me, and look at these next three words. I will make you, actually four words, I will make you. That's transformation. So, and I know the reason why, and I've been in ministry long enough, I'm sure your pastor could affirm this as well. There's oftentimes people that will resist doing whatever it is, whether it's teaching Awanas or going on a mission trip or working a bus route or whatever it may be. They'll say, well, I just don't think I'm ready. I don't think I can do that yet. And here's what Jesus is saying. And by the way, I'm not against preparation. I'm not against training and all that. But here's what I'm trying to say to you, that when you follow Jesus, he will make you what you need to be. You don't sit back and wait to become who you think you need to be and then follow him. He says, follow me and I will make you. You see, let Jesus do the transformation, and he does a whole lot better than we could do for ourselves. I know in my life that there's been many times when I have held back because I was trying to fix myself. I was trying to be a better Christian, trying to take care of this little area of my life before I do this. And that's bad theology. Jesus says, follow, and I'll make you. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I believe that everything Jesus does, he does it well. I don't know anything that God has ever done that was a mistake. So if he says, I will make you, whatever he makes out of you will be a beautiful thing. So why don't you follow him tonight and let him do that transformation that needs to take place? Because look what it leads to. Not only is there a transformation in this invitation, but there's a promise to claim. He says, I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now think about that promise to claim. If you'll follow him, if you, not the missionaries, not the pastor, not the evangelist, but you, the Christian, the church member sitting on the pew right now, Jesus says to you, I will make your life productive. I will cause you to catch men, to bring them into the kingdom of God. And can you tell me, is there anything better in all the world than to rescue a soul from eternal damnation, to lead them into this beautiful kingdom of God and let them experience eternal life? I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being saved. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited not just about my salvation, but if I can lead somebody else to salvation, that's a beautiful thing. What that says is my life can have purpose. Because I think there's an awful lot of people, they're like ships without a rudder. Well, when you first look at them, they look like a beautiful ship out in the harbor. But the second there's a storm or a wind that comes up, they're out of control. Because they are out of control. Because their life has no purpose. Could you stand tonight and with confidence look people into the eye and tell them that you know at the very depth of your soul the purpose for which Jesus Christ saved you? Do you know why you're breathing right now? Do you know why God has given you life? The truth is, God never saved you to take you to heaven. That's not the purpose. If that were true, you'd already be gone. None of us would be here tonight. If God just wanted to take us to heaven, that would have been the easy thing. Second, you put your faith and trust in Christ, repent of your sins, boom, you're in heaven. But for some reason, we're here. And this is it, to fish for men. You say, isn't there something more important? Listen, Jesus left heaven. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. If that's what Jesus was willing to leave heaven for, then I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do exactly what Jesus did, and especially when he invites me personally to do it and invites you as well. Listen, I can't imagine a more important job in all the world. You say, I know some more important things. I would rather lead some large organization. Listen, Jesus was content to seek and to save the lost. And if that's where he found contentment, if that's where he found the meat to eat that you know not of, that's the same meat I want to be chewing on tonight. I want to be a fisher of men. What about you? Huh? You don't have to go to China to fish for men. You don't have to go to Guyana to fish for men. I promise you, and I've not been to this place very much, but I promise you that in Newport Richey, there's a few fish out there that need to be caught. So I don't think God's called me to Guyana. Fine, then God's called you right here. Then let's get busy. I'll go to Guyana. You stay here, but let's both do what Jesus told us to do. He said, follow me, and guess what? He's going to make you, he's going to make me fishers of men. That's what happens. So you're probably not going to come to me later and say, I don't think God's called me to missions. Because I'll be happy for you. Because I'll take you right to your pastor and say, Pastor, they're not called to leave you. They're here to help you. These are people. They haven't been called to the other side of the world, so they're called right here. And pastors need people like that. But you have an opportunity. We shouldn't have to coerce anybody. We shouldn't have to twist anybody's arm. The fact is, we're invited to walk with Jesus, and he says, I will make you something different. I will make you a fisher of men. We find our purpose. But then we see, thirdly, there's a decision that has to be made. And this is the hard part. Oh, we like the story, Jesus walking by the sea, and we have these tranquil images in our mind. Here's Jesus and walking along in his little sandals and saying nice things and smiling at everybody. He says, come with me. But then at the end of the day, we don't mind if Simon and Andrew and Greg and Todd and others follow, but wait a minute, not me. I want my net. You know, it doesn't, I don't get upset with people that hang on to their nets. I feel sorry. I really do. Do you realize what you're holding on to and what you could have? It's a net. Now, your net may not look like this. Your net may be a retirement account. Your net may be a beautiful home. Your net, I don't know what your net is, but I better be careful. I caught myself in this earlier today, and I couldn't get out. It took me forever. I had to cut my shirt. Yeah, this thing's dangerous, but that's why I got rid of the net. But anyway, but you're holding on to a dumb net. And over here you got Jesus saying, come. See, when you put it that way, the decision isn't that hard to make. We think we can make ourselves happy. We could, you know, come to church, wear the right clothes, carry the right Bible, sing the right songs, but we know that life is empty, right? That life is empty. And you know, we try a lot of things to find peace, and we try to fill the gaps with maybe a Bible study or you know, something new in our life and some kind of, I don't know, we just try so many things, but it never quite works because nets were never made to make us happy. So what did Jesus say? Follow me. What did the disciples do? Immediately. There's something about the way Jesus put it. They didn't even say, hold on, I got another 3 years and I can hit my goal for my retirement. Or hold on, I've got to wait for this promotion to come at work. These guys just dropped their net. Now think about, if you're a fisherman in the Middle East in the first century, guess what that net represented? This is what your dad did. This is what your grandfather did. Your great-grandfather did. This represents your family. This represents your future. This represents your income. This represents everything. Don't miss the story. You think it's just a net, but listen to these guys. It was everything. Everything. I admire that because they didn't sit down and calculate. How can we figure this out financially? How can we figure this out practically? They left their nets immediately. In fact, in verse 22, these brothers even left their father. They left family behind. Because I know sometimes, you know, like I think I shared with you maybe last time we were here, for my wife and I, when we decided to go to the mission field, our families didn't support us. They weren't excited about having missionary kids and all that, and we were taking their, you know, my mom and her dad, and we're taking their grandkids away, and they saw that, but they weren't happy about us going. But sometimes you got to leave father and mother. Sometimes you pay a price. Four things about this decision, and I'll be done. Number one, the decision is now. Now, if you're here this evening, and I mean this with great respect to you, but if you're here this evening and you're not born again, if you've never received Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, let me implore you, listen, I don't even have the words, but I just want to say urgently tonight that if you're not saved, you need to be saved right now. Right now, please. Do not walk out of this building and think there's another time. Just as Jesus walked by those brothers that day at the Sea of Galilee, listen, Jesus is walking by right now, giving you that opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Right now, if you need Christ, you open your heart. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now. But if you're holding on to a net right now, listen, I can't figure out all the details for your life. All I can say is, that net is not worth what Jesus wants to give you. Whatever that net looks like in your life, just let it go. You say, that's scary. I know. But you know what I know it's going to happen? If you make that decision tonight, Jesus may allow you to be tested. You may doubt that decision a week from now. You may think, boy, I wish that I'd never listened to that missionary. But at some point, you're going to see the beauty of that decision, because God's going to move into your life in such a way like you've never seen him before. The decision needs to be now. Number two, it's life-changing. Trust me, when you let go of that net, your life will never be the same. I know for some of you, that's what scares you. But have you ever thought that your life could be better? The truth is, you've been holding on to a net. And here's Jesus wants you to come to him. Trust me, this is life-changing. I'm not just saying, you know, make a slight adjustment in your schedule now. I'm saying cast out the net. Drop it. Let it go. Yes, it's going to change your life. That's the point. Jesus said, if a man doesn't take up his cross and follow after me daily, he cannot be my disciple. If he doesn't forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Don't buy into this type of Christianity that advocates no change. Of course Jesus wants to change our lives. He's conforming us into the image of himself until the day and that hour in which we reach heaven's shore. We are being changed. That's the whole point of going from lost sinners condemned to hell to children of God on our way to heaven. It's life-changing. Number three, it's costly. It's costly. I would greatly recommend the book, The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I don't even know how to summarize that book other than just to say Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor during Nazi Germany and was actually ultimately put to death for his stand against Hitler, when most of the Lutheran church at that time supported Hitler. But Bonhoeffer refused. And he wrote a book in prison called The Cost of Discipleship. But not just Bonhoeffer, but Jesus wrote a book too called The Bible. And it speaks about the cost of discipleship. But America, we've adjusted this type of discipleship to where it's just, oh, read these 12 lessons and check off the boxes and you're discipled. Oh, listen, discipleship is costly. It'll cost you everything you have. But don't let that scare you. Because once you give up everything, guess what you have left? Jesus. And he says, if you have me, you have everything. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You know what? If I have Jesus, I don't need to have what you have. And if you have Jesus, you don't need to have what somebody else has. You have it all. But it's going to cost you something. I don't know what it's going to cost you. For some, it might be just a slight cost and a slight adjustment. To some, it's going to be everything. To the Jim Elliots in the world, it costs them their life. I've said this for years in my college classes, and maybe it's why we don't get more mission students. I've said sometimes if we're going to reach the world, somebody, somewhere may have to lay down their life. Maybe that's why people don't always want to be missionaries. There's a cost. But the fourth point is this, it's worth it. It's worth it. I know your pastor would say this. I could say it. Chad, I know you'd say this as well. It's worth it to give your life to Christ. And many of you know this. Many of you have given your life to Christ fully and completely. And you know that, yes, you gave up something. Yes, you sacrificed something. Yes, you laid something aside. But it was worth it. I've never met somebody who gave their life 100% to God and came back later and said, I regret that. Never. But you know what? Almost every week, I meet people that regret not giving more of their life earlier to God. Those are sad stories. Sometimes people spend years, decades, wasting their life at things that don't matter. Listen, I'll give you a quote and I'll be done. Years ago, Dr. Charles Keene, I heard him preach, and he made a statement that stuck with me so clear. He said it to me personally. He said, Greg, I don't fear failure, but I do fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter to God. Wow, that's powerful. I don't fear failure, but I do fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter to God. So at the end of the day, you've been a success, but does it matter to God? That's what's important.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.